I explained last week and then in an email to you this week that we were looking forward to having some of our young people who worked at a special needs camp for 2 weeks share a little bit of what they did. Let me introduce that in two ways. First of all, in light of the text that we just read, it just so happens that we're in John 13, where the Lord Jesus, who was the King of Glory, who knew everything that was afoot, knew he had come from God, he was going back to God, set aside his robes and did the most menial of tasks in that culture that you could do. He washed the feet of his disciples. And that is just the tip of the iceberg, as it were, of his whole life and example. But that is what biblical Christianity follows right along. Not Baptists, not independents, not Lutherans, not Wesleyans, not Catholics. This is what happens when the Spirit of God invades a person's life and changes them from the inside out, and there's a whole new desire to begin to serve people and do for others. By the way, that's not meritorious. And this is in case the four of you that are going to be sharing this morning are thinking otherwise. But it is a response, and that's good. Some of you are familiar with World Magazine, World Publications, their podcasts and so forth. This month's issue, they're focusing on the Hope Awards. Every year they'll go around sectors of the United States and find ministries that are ministering not out of some big program, but individual Christians. Often it's just individual Christians see a need and begin to address it. And so they focus on several of those, both in this country and one in Scotland as well. And if you'd like to see that, by all means, help yourself. But we prayed for Alyssa. I had to put her first, ladies first. Curtis, Tommy, Jared, as you were there at that special needs camp, those 2 weeks, two different geographic locations. But I'm looking forward to hearing you come up and explain a little bit of what went on. So if you'd come to the microphone here, and in your order, do what it is you'll have planned to do here. Thank you.
A little bit taller. There we go. You guys can do it if you want. Okay, so I'm going to start us off with just kind of laying the foundation of the logistics of camp and everything and how that goes on, because it's a lot different from CAECO, from what you might remember from that. So it's actually in two separate geographical locations. So the first, Camp Carson, is in East Tennessee, like almost an hour east of Knoxville. So it's like the very eastern edge of Tennessee. And then Linden was a lot closer to us. That's the second week. That one's... it's about 2 hours south of Clarksville. So it was about two and a half hour drive. So it was different that way from the camp that I've worked at, because it's two different locations and there's the weekend break. So we come back and then we drive down to Linden. But also kind of just the family structure of how everything was oriented was different. Because in Alaska, when you have a cabin, that's your identity for the week. Is you are Yukon cabin. So you're the counselor and you have your campers. But you may have heard us talking about, you know, one of my female campers, or Alyssa has a male camper. So the families are different because you have your color family, but you also have your cabin family. So your family is what you do all the day activities with. So I was an orange family, which has anywhere from 8 to 10 guys and like 8 to 10 girls. So I was an orange family, Alyssa was blue family, Jared was purple, and Tommy was in red, and that was for both weeks. But cabin families are just at night. So the guys have one or two cabins, and the girls have one or two cabins. So I was in a cabin with, for the first week, purple and blue. The blue and purple guys. So I was in a cabin with Jared, and Tommy was in a cabin with the other team members, the guys. And Alyssa had her own, you know, the girl cabins. There's generally three teams to a cabin. And then the second week, it was a little bit different. I was still with Jared, but we had yellow team instead of blue team. And then Tommy was in. He was a little bit closer to what Keiko was like, because in Camp Linden, there was just these separate little cabins. But generally, a cabin is going to have a bunch of different rooms with, like, eight. So it'll be, like, six rooms attached with, like, eight bunk beds in it. And then in the center is, like, the bathroom complex. There's, like, one or two bathrooms in there. So that's how the cabins are set up, which was a shock for me going there from Keiko. It's like, we have our bathroom in the cabin? That's, like, crazy. You don't have to, like go out outside. Well, Tommy, actually, Tommy, the second week, his cabins were more like Keiko cabins. So he had individual cabins, and they had an outside shower. So prepping for Keiko, I guess, a little bit more. But, yeah, so kind of the first day, we all met at our house, and it was about a five-hour drive out to Knoxville, I think, to get there, because we stopped for lunch.
And bathroom breaks.
Yeah, and bathroom breaks, yeah. So it took us – I remember we used to have friends out at Knoxville, and I don't remember it taking that long, but maybe it did, and I was just – little. Okay, it did. Well, I'm saying it did. I only remember it being a few hours, but it took us a while to get out there. But, yeah, as we were driving through, I remember one of my first thoughts as we were getting to this, it was like the road was this big, and then it starts going to like this, and it's like gravel, and then there's like, you know, kind of sketchy, like, cabins, like rundown trailer park. Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, what are we getting into? What did we get into? But finally, after we came to the end of this road, and there's these gates, and it just opens up, and it's like this beautiful hills, and there's this whole resort lodge thing, and I'm like, whoa, this is a lot different than Keiko. It's like a whole, like, hotel lodge thing. We didn't stay in the hotel rooms, but that brings up a point, is that the camp isn't tied to the location. So those are just event centers that I think the first one was mainly for the Baptists. Like,
well, actually, they're both of them through the same organization.
So, yeah, they'll have tons of different events going on. In fact, as we were leaving Camp Linden, the other camp was already moving in, so we had to get out of there pretty quick. But, yeah, so we went there. So the first few days were just training. So in Camp Carson, that was our orientation training. And it was definitely different, because at Keiko, I'm used to, like, kind of knowing everybody. So it's really weird to get into a place that I have no idea who the other counselors are. I don't know what's going on. But it was really good, and they were very welcoming. Jenny is the staff director, and Brian is her brother, and he's the camp director. So we met Jenny pretty quickly and got to know Brian and all of our other counselors. So we were assigned our families by the
Sunday night.
Was it Sunday night?
Yeah, it was
okay.
Sunday night, because we had a camp.
That's right,
Monday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was good, because we kind of got to know everybody. And then by the time we were assigned to a family, we kind of already knew, you know, their names and what we were getting into. So that was good. But Monday starts off kind of a lot like a Keiko Monday. You just kind of are just waiting around, basically, until you're getting your cabin ready and then getting your rooms ready, and then just waiting and praying. And it was kind of the same feeling of Keiko's, you know, who am I going to get? I mean, we knew the names of who we were going to get beforehand, and we knew their ages, if they're diabetic, you know, all their needs that we have to meet. And that was the other thing, is the median age, I would say, was about 60-ish for a camper. My youngest that week, I think, was 27. So that was a big change for me. Was, you know, the oldest I'd ever counseled was maybe 17 or 18 at Keiko. So going from that to my youngest camper being 27... I think you had one who was like 84, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I had an 84-year-old camper.
Mm-hmm. So that was different, definitely. So I don't know about you guys, but I was a little bit, you know, worried, like, how is this going to work with adults? Like, because I know how to talk to kids, and I'm familiar with that, but, like, how do you, like, I don't know, how is this going to work with, you know, moving, we have to move them into their bunk bed and get all their stuff unpacked, and just how do you talk to them, and how do you relate to them? So I was a little bit worried about that, but I remember my very first camper, I'll just call him Bob for now because we're not really supposed to say their names, but Bob comes up, and he's this big guy. He's got, like, a bandana, cowboy boots, and he just walks in and like, hey, Fran, how's it going? What's going on? And he moves his stuff in and gets unpacked. So that was – they make it really, really easy. And they know their own limitations, which is good. So if they need help in the shower, then they will tell you that they need help in the shower. If they need help unpacking their stuff, they're more than comfortable. Well, most of them. There's always exceptions, yeah. But they're more than comfortable letting you do that. And most of them, I would say, have been there for
a long time,
like 20-plus years for some of them. Yeah. And they, yeah, so they know the ropes. And we told a lot of them that they'd have to show us around camp. So they knew what they were doing, which is a big help, especially first-time counselors. So, yeah, that was Monday. And then for Bible studies are divided into two kind of groups. We have our own personal Bible study room, and that was an activity that we would do is we go to the Bible study room as a family. So Orange family would gather in our Bible study room, and we'd have a set plan, like an activity. We'd do a skit, and then we'd do, you know, crafts and stuff related to the message. And then at night we would have Pastor Larry would teach everybody, and that was the counselor break. So Pastor Larry would have all of the families in one church building, and then we would go to break.
Mm-hmm. We go to staff meetings.
Yeah. So those were the main Bible times. We did that on, I think Bible study was our first activity on Monday that we did. We went to our Bible study rooms. And
it was the only activity on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mondays are a little bit difficult. I guess any camp is a little bit difficult trying to entertain everybody, and there's not really a set schedule to do. But it was really nice because they took naps between when they got there and Bible study. That was unheard of for me, taking naps. Like, what? No. Yeah.
Well,
sitting, like having a camper just like sit still in a cabin, that's just kind of a new concept for me because in Keiko, they're all over the place. So that was really nice to kind of just like be able to chill for a little bit. So that was different. But yeah, Monday kind of had the same vibe, at least for me with Keiko. Even though it was a lot different surroundings, a lot different campers, it was kind of the same. So, Alyssa, you're going to, no, Tommy, you're going to talk about Tuesday. Yeah, they're going to talk about the week.
Do you want to hand these out now?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hand those out, pass them around.
Yeah, so Bennett has some pictures he's going to pass out. Those are my campers for both weeks. And Alyssa has her family's pictures. But Curtis and Jared don't have any.
No. We were too busy. We did not get pictures.
Yeah, we did. So Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday were like the main 3 days of camp.
They were actually full days. They had a set schedule for four different activities.
Like Thursday was a little bit different because they, like, the campers got really sad Thursday because they didn't want to leave. So Thursday they had like more fun activities, like to try and just keep their minds off of leaving. So that's Alyssa's lanyard that she had to wear all the time. This is mine. We had our schedules on it, and we had all the schedule stuff on it, and then we also had to make these cards Sunday evening that we had to write down all their, like, medical information because, like, you memorized it by the first couple days. But, like, first meal time, like, you had to be, you know, quickly flipping through to see if someone was diabetic or not because they'd grab the sugar cake, you know, and try and scarf it down before you could do anything.
It usually wasn't an enormous deal unless the nurses told us it was a huge deal. So usually we had one or two campers in our family where we knew that we had to be very careful with them, what they ate.
Yeah.
So, like, they were the first people we went to. It was like, all right, does such and such have the right food.
Yeah.
We cannot give him.
And some of them I had won the first week, or I had a couple the first week that would be like, no, I can't. Like, I messed up once, and I, like, accidentally gave him the wrong drink, and he was like, is this sugar-free? And I was like, no, it's not. But he was good. Like, he was like, no, I'm diabetic. Like, I have to have the sugar-free stuff. But then some of them were like, I had one female camper the first week who was convinced she wasn't diabetic, even though she was. And so she, I don't know, we had some interesting conversations the first week because she really wanted, you know, what everybody else was having, you know, and she had to have the sugar-free dessert, and it was just, yeah, meal times were.
They were fun.
Mostly meal times
just,
were chill for us because it was.
Not for us.
Not for us. It was chaotic.
So I was thinking of just going over, like, the schedule and just a little bit about each activity.
Okay.
So first thing at 7 o'clock, we woke up. Okay. So most of us woke up at 7 o'clock.
Most of us were already up by 7 o'clock.
7:40 to 8 was moving to breakfast, which wasn't as big. So first week, the camp was like a little bit smaller in radius to everything.
It was a small
campus. At least
for
me, but like there was a huge hill, and my cabin was at the top of the hill. So, like, it took us a while. It took us the full 20 minutes to get everybody down the hill, you know, because everybody walks, you know, slower. And it was a really steep hill. So you definitely needed the full 20 minutes to move. Then 8 to 8:45 is breakfast. Meal times are, like, one of the most hectic.
Chaotic. You've got all of your counselors, hopefully, are helping and doing their job. And you've got 18 campers, generally, that you're trying to get organized and set up with the right plates, make sure they all have drinks. And
make sure they don't get the caffeinated coffee.
Yeah. We had a couple of campers that they knew where the caffeinated coffee was, and they knew they weren't supposed to have it. So they would make a run for it. And
yeah, that was first day. I was trying to be courteous and hold open the door for all my campers, but then there was no counselor in the lead.
Who was making sure.
Three of them just bolted to the coffee, and I was like, so I had one of the campers who, like, he was really good. He was basically a counselor, like, he helped me a lot, and so I had him hold open the door while I ran to try and get them to their spots instead of just guzzling coffee. And so a lot of that, like, you had to learn their personalities quickly.
Mm-hmm. You had to learn
all their individual stuff, like, very early on, or it would
be bad.
Yeah, it would be very bad.
You also, it was good to learn their temperament, like, what made them upset, to what extent you could encourage them to do better, or they'll just, like, blow up. Some of them will get very upset. A lot of these campers are on heavy medication. So I noticed that towards the end of the day, or even in the morning, they would be resistant to taking their meds. So we did have trouble sometimes with that.
After breakfast, there was half an hour of a bathroom break. And you definitely needed the full half an hour to make sure everybody. And a lot of them wouldn't want to go to the bathroom because, like, they want to go straight to the activities and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you'd have to kind of get after them, like, are you sure you don't need to go to the bathroom? You know, let's go to the bathroom. You know, let's just have everybody go to the bathroom.
I was basically asking my campers if they needed to go to the bathroom about every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And there were at least 5 people consistently that all had to go to the bathroom every time. It was like,
there was a lot of bathroom breaks.
I spent so much time in the bathroom.
After the bathroom break from 9:15 to 10:15 was the first activity. So there was 4 activities. You want to read them off?
All right. So the 4 activities, one of them was Bible study, and there was another one that was pool and pavilion, which some of the campers went to the pool, and they were good at swimming, and they enjoyed it. And then there were others who went to a...
Well, they called it pavilion.
First
week, it was just, like, around the pool. Second week, it was a whole different building.
Yeah, it was, like, it had a roof over it, so the campers weren't in the sun.
For the people that can't swim or don't want to.
Yeah. and usually had one counselor there, and we had one or two counselors there, and then the rest were all at pool, because pool was kind of crazy too. It was fun to keep everybody contained. Another one is cooking and sports and games. And sports and games was exactly what it's called. You had some activity, whether it was throwing tennis balls through hoops or shooting. They had arrows through hula hoops that are hung on trees. But
The theme, it was all theme-based. It was called, the theme for the weeks was Kingdom Castle. So everything was kind of like castle-based.
Yeah, or knight.
So we had like knight karate training. We had to, you know, because the director, he said that. Yeah, we had to rescue a princess. We had to throw tennis balls at a dragon, which was someone in like a
some unfortunate counselor that got put in that suit.
Yeah, which was usually me.
And usually me.
Usually the first years got put in that suit.
Yeah. But cooking was another activity, and it's not cooking at all.
It's more of like crafts.
I would call it more torture. But what would happen is
Alyssa will cover Thursday.
Okay.
So cooking for Tuesday and Wednesday was really chill.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. There was an activity or something simple
Alyssa
to make.
We'll explain that.
And
then
music was another activity we went to.
Arts and crafts.
That was like a section. We split our time between those two.
Yeah, so when they said activity one is from 9:15 to 10:45, like pool, you have the full hour. But for the other ones, it's like you have half an hour in sports and games, and then the other half an hour is in cooking. Or music and arts and crafts.
So those pictures actually were made during arts and crafts. Our campers decorated them and then got a picture put on it. And music was just...
basically just dancing.
Yeah, them going crazy and dancing.
Playing musical games. And
yeah.
So that was the first activity. So the family split up because you couldn't have like 80 people in the pool. So, like, it was maximum of two families in the pool. But otherwise, for the activities, you were just on your own with your family.
Yeah.
So, like, for sports and games, like, I would just be in sports and games with Red family while somebody else was in cooking, and then we'd switch.
We'd rotate.
Yeah.
We would rotate consistently with another family. Like, I rotated with Orange the last day of Linden.
Yeah.
And just, you would rotate with another family. There were only six color families this year. They have the schedule written out for eight.
They canceled two families at the last minute so that they could have a full guy staff, three to a family.
Yeah.
Like, they really wanted three guys per family because in the past years they've just had two guys per family and it's really been hard.
Very, very
difficult.
So they
cut out two of the families last minute so that they could have the full staff families. So that's activity one, then move time, and then activity two, then move time again, and then lunch. The food was pretty good.
It wasn't bad.
The food was not bad. Second week was
food
not
was
quite
a little
as good.
Lower in quality.
Yeah. But it wasn't bad. I mean, none of it was, like, really that bad. It was, like, generic, but, like,
it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, you know?
Lunch was not usually as bad as breakfast.
Because you don't have as many meds.
There's not as many medications, and the nurses are not quite as chaotic. And you're not also groggy and just getting up, so that's a plus.
And then after lunch and moving to the cabins, they all took a nap every day.
They theoretically took a nap.
Well, they had to be. So the aces are like they oversaw us, like in the cabins and oversaw activities. So there would be your two ace cabins would stay in the cabin with all the campers while you had your break for the day.
Yeah.
An hour break. So that was nice to get a break because, like, besides that break, you were
with them 24/7.
Like, that was your hour break per day. So that was definitely good to have. And then you just have move time, you have activity three and a snack, and then you have activity four. then dress for dinner, which is just like for people who had gone to the pool later, right before dinner, give them time to go back to the cabins and get dressed. But that...
We never did that.
Well, we did, but like the problem with that is like for all the other families, like we had Bible study the first day in Linden there, so we had like hour and a half for Bible study. And so like that was hard to kill time. You know,
it was a little difficult.
We didn't need to go dress for dinner. And we had an hour and a half of Bible study, so...
Occasionally, it would be difficult to fill time in a certain activity, especially Bible study, because the way it's...
We did fine in Bible study.
Well, for us, the way it was structured, it was sometimes hard with the excessive time.
And then you had dinner, and then after that, you had worship for them, which was our staff meeting with Jenny. She would, you know, give us advice about the day, tell us things we need to do differently, and all that sort of stuff. And then Fun Spot, which Jared will tell you about.
Oh, Fun Spot. You could basically call it a talent show. A lot of these campers, their mental age is a lot different than their physical age. So a lot of them... are like they act like kids, if I can say that. Like they really act like kids, and it's fun to spend time with them. But a lot of them are very proud of their talents, which could be anything from singing to telling jokes.
Yeah, we had a few comedians.
We did have a few comedians, and it was just funny letting them show off and do their talent.
You know, you get to hear Michael Jackson like
you did.
Six times every
you
night.
Did. You got to hear him all night long. I think somebody did Elvis too, right?
Oh, there was a lot of Elvis.
There's a few Elvises, yeah.
Yeah. And often they would get a counselor involved.
And you couldn't say no.
You can't say no. You have to get up there and sing with them.
So
you dance with them. I actually never had that. I was kind of sad. Nobody invited me.
I had it twice at Linden. But
I had mine every single person.
Nice. All the guy campers were spoiled because all the girl counselors would, like, go up and dance with them. They would, like, I want all the girl counselors. Yeah. And they would all be up there dancing. It was kind of funny.
Unless they didn't want to, all of them... We found some talent for them.
Yeah, they
so
did something.
So even if, like, they were completely wheelchair-bound, like, we'd find something, you know.
Dance around.
Mm-hmm.
They'd sing or tell jokes.
Yeah.
And the jokes were always funny.
They were just hilarious.
I mean, they were always funny.
Always made sure there was thunderous applause and laughter.
Yeah,
so that was Fun Spot.
Then after that was shower time.
Wait, hold on.
Oh.
One thing before Fun Spot is awards. And they were crazy about that. Like, stickers was equivalent of an Oscar.
You can see the stickers on here.
It was like...
If you're
wondering
why there was stickers on my thing.
Our family got way more stickers.
So
this was very important.
For each activity, the ace of that activity gave out a sticker to everybody's name tag to the family that did, like... the best and was the most energetic. And there was also, they did a best clean cabin. And then if your cabin was the messiest, then they gave you a shirt that said messy, messy, messy. You had to wear that for the next day.
You know, here's the problem with that shirt. I really hated that shirt.
Yeah, because you had to wear it a lot.
Well, here was the problem, is that it's so big. I think it had like...
It was like extra, extra, extra large.
Like it had six X's, I'm pretty sure, on the tag. It was... just huge, and there's no good way to wear it because it's like wearing a dress, and it's.
But the campers loved it.
They thought it was hilarious.
Every time they saw somebody with that shirt, they'd go up to them and say, "Messy, messy, messy." Yeah, I think I got that once, like the first week.
I got it twice.
So you got it. Yeah, you got it twice. Awards was it was like the Grammys. I mean, it was
a huge deal.
Like if they didn't get an award, like
they were mad,
they were upset.
I had to take some people outside to calm down.
Yeah.
They were very, very upset.
And then after that, we have showers. All the campers have to take a shower every night.
Mm-hmm.
Just for like,
just
that's just the code.
Yeah, like, it's just hygiene.
So even if they like really like, I'd won the first week. I was in a separate room. They called it the rainbow room because the rooms each only have 8 beds and there's 9 guy campers. So they take one from each of the families and put them in one of the empty rooms. And they have a few counselors in there. So I volunteered to do that. So I had a camper from Yellow who really a lot of the time did not want to take a shower. But, like, they have to take a shower.
She
would use every trick in the book to make sure that they got in the shower.
Yeah. Everything from telling them they'll smell nice for the girls if they go to getting Brian or Jenny to come talk to them.
Yeah.
Or one of the aces.
Yeah. Sometimes that worked.
Sometimes it didn't.
It was fun. A lot of them were very easygoing about it. They were more than happy to take a shower.
Yeah.
I would say the difference in shower time between Carson and Lyndon, I felt like we had an increase of people who needed to be showered. They were just unable to do it themselves. At Carson, there were only one or two that needed full care. It was most of the rest of them could shower themselves or they just needed encouragement.
Yeah.
But.
And then after showers, it was getting in bed.
It was getting in bed. That took a while. We had to get clothes on.
Campers would end up in counselors' beds. And, yeah.
Or they would steal the counselor's sleeping bags and use them.
Yeah. We had, I guess I'll tell the story. Well, it was a fun day. We had, like, it started out with, like, an armadillo under our cabin. This is on Linden. And so the campers were, like, uneasy. And even Parker, one of the counselors, he, for some reason, was scared of armadillos. So, like, it was an interesting, like, morning. And then that night, I was in Rainbow Room again the second week, which is actually Rainbow Cabin, because it was a full separate cabin for all the extra campers. And one of them, we were up till like 1 o'clock in the morning trying to like get him to go to the bathroom. And finally we walked, me and Joseph from Blue, we walked back into our cabin and I was like, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, so we're both really tired. And I was on a top bunk, he was on bottom bunk. All the campers had to sleep on bottom bunks. They weren't allowed to sleep on the top bunks. So I just, like, fell in my sleeping bag. I was really tired. And then Joseph, he went over to his sleeping bag, and he kind of sat down. Then he got back up, and he went over to my bed. And he just straight-faced, he looked at me, and he said, "I have reason to believe there's someone inside my sleeping bag." I was like, "What?" And he was like, and we look around, and all the other campers are in their right sleep, like, where they're supposed to be sleeping. So we, like, finally, we like look and figure out that it's a camper from like 2 cabins down that while we were dealing with Curtis had gotten out of his cabin and gotten into ours and then climbed and zipped himself into Joseph's sleeping bag. And this is like 1:30 in the morning, so like it was just. But it was really like that day was really tough for me. Like
you looked
then,
like you had
I,
not
that
got
day was really hard for me. So it was good. Like it just kind of showed. Like if something was funny, like it can clear up everything that like I don't know. That was a really rough day for me. But just like having him say that was just like so funny, and it just like it changed my day from like I don't know being a really bad day to like being something really funny. So we had to wake up a Blue counselor, and he thought it was a joke. He thought when I woke him up, I was like, "There's one of your campers in our cabin sleeping in Joseph's sleeping bag." And he was like, "You're pulling my leg. Go back to sleep." And I was like, "No, like there's actually one of your campers over in our cabin." And so finally he got up, and we had to wake up that camper and get him all the way back into the other cabin. And that was like 2 o'clock by the time we went to bed. So, but it was funny. I mean, in general, the camp was a lot of fun.
It was. There was funny stories.
It was work, but it was a lot of fun.
I had one camper who was notorious for his coffee runs in the morning, very early.
So some of the campers came both weeks.
Yeah.
So I had this camper. We'll call him Frank.
We'll call him Frank.
I had him the first week. Jared had him the second week, and he loved
caffeinated coffee.
He showed up. He snuck out of the cabin. like, what, Wednesday?
What was this, you or me?
Week. No, this is the second
no,
week.
No, for me, he snuck out at, like, 5:30 in the morning and ran, basically, to the cafeteria, which was unlocked.
To try to get coffee.
Try and get coffee.
And thankfully, the staff was there, but well, they didn't, he didn't.
They didn't know until after he had downed 3 cups of caffeinated coffee.
Yeah, like who he was or what he was doing. And he didn't have his name tag on, so they didn't know what
family. Also didn't have his name tag.
So they woke us up at, me and Joseph, they woke, this was the morning after that whole, the whole thing, you know. So it's like 5, so we got like 2 hours of sleep, you know. So they woke us up, because we were the closest cabin, they woke us up at like 5:30 in the morning. They're like, there's this camper down here, like, he's nice, but he's drinking all that coffee. We were like, I know who that is. Like, I had him the first week. I knew exactly who it was. So then we told him what cabin he was from and everything, and it worked out. But
yeah, I got. I mean, like, we knew. We thought he went to the bathroom, and then we fell asleep thinking, because he's more than capable of going to the bathroom and going back to bed. So he went. We thought, oh, he's going to the bathroom.
But
so
then
he went out through
the orange room.
I remember that. I thought it was somebody, like one of the staff going out or something.
So he went out of his room.
Because our door didn't work. Like, our door was broken.
And then he went into one of the other rooms of the cabin and went out through their door. And then just bolted.
Went all the way to the cafeteria, which was a little ways away.
Yeah.
It was a walk. So, anyways, it was. That was an interesting way to wake up. I get woken up like 30 minutes later with our camper there, and he's. I have an ace telling me he drank like 3 cups of coffee this morning.
And then he's like, have fun with that, Jared. I'm going back to sleep. So we're probably taking up too much time.
Let me just say, my campers were very good. None of that happened. There were no people getting out in the middle of the night trying to steal coffee. They were very good. Our campers were awesome. So we had Thursday. Okay, so Thursday was the last day of, like, activities and all of that stuff. So, you know, most of our campers were sad, and they didn't want to go home. And so we were trying to, you know, get them excited for the activities. So food and cooking, we did this game called Wheel of Misfortune, and that was gross. I did not like that. We had the Wheel of Misfortune had things that we had to eat, gross things that we had to eat.
A camper would pick
like a counselor, and they would turn the wheel, and whatever it landed on, we had to eat. And so I don't remember exactly what the things were. Do you remember?
Do you want me to describe them?
Yes. There were. It was very gross, and we had to eat it.
A lot of people threw up.
But that was their favorite part of the day. So it was worth it. So anyways, that was food and cooking. And then later, after worship, there was dance. It was a huge party. Everybody danced, and that was actually like one of my favorite things to do with the campers was dance with them, because they enjoyed it. They loved showing off their new dance moves or break dancing, which was awesome. Dance battles, it was so much fun. And then there was stickers too. We did. And then Friday was the day that they left. Most campers were super sad. All of my campers, they were very emotional. There was a lot of crying going on, and which made me cry too, because you bond with them so fast. Just like in 3 days, it's like they're your closest friends. One of my campers the first week, she was so sweet. She had Down syndrome, and it was Friday. And I started crying. I was like, I'm going to miss you. And she's like, you have to come back next year. I was like, oh, I will. And I started crying, and she wiped off my tear. And I was like, you're so sweet. But, yeah, Lyndon, Friday, the last day, we would pack up our campers. And usually their families would come and get them. And, you know, that was Friday. Was goodbye day, which was kind of sad. But what else do I need to say? Yeah, that was... We left on Friday, too. So right after the campers left, we would have staff meeting, which was usually Jenny would say, like, good job. You guys did good this week. And then after that, we would go. So, yep. That was it. Is there any questions you guys would like to ask? Got to do this kind of quick, but...
In our cabin, we had, it was in Rainbow Cabin or Overflow Cabin, but they didn't like to call it that. But we had, so it was me and Joseph and Landry all in there. We were from separate families. Yeah, three counselors taking care of, like, the campers that they couldn't fit in the other cabins. And me, Landry was really tired. He had gone to bed. Me and Joseph were up taking care of one of the other campers. By when we had gone back, because the Aces, like, knew we needed sleep, so they were like, we'll take care of this, you guys go back to bed. And when we, by the time we'd gotten back in the cabin, this... I don't think so. They just...
That camper loves to just, like, take a... do a lot of other people's stuff, like,
yeah, he,
get in the beds or steal clothes or steal things.
Yeah,
from, like,
he was a lot of fun, though.
He was my camper, and we...
I think he did it more just to, like, be funny, you know? Like, he kind of thought it was a fun thing to do, and it was.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you
for the prayers.
Yes,
they
were needed
and appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah. Good?
Yeah.
We're good. Thank you, guys. Tommy, I have reason to believe the room is at the top of the hour. but we'll still share a Lord's table together. Turn over to John 13. Something that we read this morning just lends itself so nicely to our taking Lord's table together. And since we read those first 17 verses together, you know the context of this, but we're thinking especially of the central portion where verse 4, after John explains how Jesus knew these things intimately. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, and after pouring water into the basin, began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel that he had girded himself with. In verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter, and Simon said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus said to him, what I'm doing to you now, you don't understand now, but you'll understand it later. You'll know this after this. And Peter said, no, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, look, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. So Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And Jesus said, no, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you, because he knew, of course, that Judas was going to betray him, and that's why he said that. There's a distinction in the words that the earlier text did not quite make, but I realized that at least the New King James Version that I'm reading from is attempting to do. The word that is used, that was translated wash in verses 5. I can't see each of the verses. It's in 8 and so forth. Is a Greek word that means to wash a certain part of your body. So you went to the sink and you washed your hands before you eat. Or in this case, Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples. So he washed that area. Okay, so that's what Jesus is doing. But when he responds to Peter and said, look, if I don't wash your feet, you have you have no part with me. Then Peter says, well, give me a whole bath. And so Jesus says in verse 10, he who is bathed, that's a different Greek word, needs only to wash his feet. To bathe means is a word that could mean the entire body that was there. And Jesus, in using this physical illustration for his immediate disciples, is helping us as well. And as we factor in what all of the apostles taught with regard to salvation, it's so true. And as we come to the Lord's table today, it's helpful this way. He who is bathed, who's been completely cleansed spiritually, doesn't need to have a bath again. If a person has been genuinely born again, that is a once-for-all event. The moment God the Holy Spirit blesses us with repentance and faith and we believe, we're placed in the body of Christ. All of our sins are removed. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is placed to our account, and we are adopted into God's family. That is a once-for-all event. It's never repeated afterwards. But the bathing of the individual parts, and in this case, thinking of the bathing of the feet, what an illustration. In first-century Palestine, you didn't wear shoes or boots. You wore sandals if you wore anything. And you didn't have nicely clean streets and roads to walk in. There was a lot of dust and animal dung and so forth. And so sometimes your feet were disgustingly dirty. And so when you came into the home, it was courteous to take your sandals off and wash your feet. But that was only done for the lowest of servants. Jesus is giving, first of all of us a wonderful example, breathtaking example. So he gets to the end. Do you understand what I've done to you? If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. But getting back to the spiritual application, as you and I walk through this world, our feet get dirty spiritually, don't they? If each of us, aren't you glad this isn't done? If somehow the Lord could put on an overhead screen behind me everything that I thought this week, or I said, or I did, that was not pleasing to the Lord, that was sinful. And all of us sin, don't we? So like Peter, we say, Lord, I've sinned. Do I need to get born again? Again, no. If you've already been bathed completely as you're walking through the world, you only need to take care of that issue. And so as we come to the Lord's table, it's a once-a-month reminder for us of that truth. But in reality, this is to be our day-to-day practice. When Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the church door at Wittenberg, the first item that he wrote on his thesis in Latin was the gist of it was when our Lord and Master Jesus told us to repent, he intended that repentance to be all of life event. By that time, Martin Luther had been born again and he was growing in his understanding of the gospel. And so what he was wanting to grapple with the other doctors of the church was, this is to be a part of our day-to-day life. And so as we come today to the Lord's table, it's good for us to wash our feet. It's good for each of us as we come before the Lord now to confess our sins, if they haven't been confessed. There's another word and that's involved here, the idea of relationship. Jesus said, look, if I don't wash your feet, Peter, you have no part with me. The idea isn't that you're removed from my family. The idea is we can't have fellowship, Peter. You can't. Amos asked the question, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? And by the way, if there's a problem between me and the Lord, the problem isn't with him. it's with me. And so how can I come to your table? How can we walk together unless we're agreed? So let's take these moments now as we get ready to take this bread and cup and do business with the Lord. You who have been born again, have you been born again? Then you are washed. But now is the time to wash your feet as well. Let's do that.